Hello and welcome back to Okay, But Listen. I'm Kellyanne.
And I'm Laura. And this is our podcast where we talk about actors we love and then make up shows and movies that we wish Hollywood would put them in.
Last week we talked about Gina Torres and Idris Elba. And if you for some reason missed it, you can find it on the podcast blog at okaybutlistenpodcast.tumblr.com.
Now, this episode will still make sense to you if you haven't listened to the last one, but you'll probably love it even more if you're all caught up. And just so you know, I am super excited about our actors this week, Gillian Anderson and Maria Bello.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about Gillian Anderson first.
Okay.
Is there anyone listening to this who doesn't know who Gillian Anderson is?
I highly doubt it.
Highly doubt it. And if there is, welcome back from your 20-year stint on the space station. I hope you can still hold up your own body weight.
Okay, so Special Agent Dana Scully on the X-Files. Mm-hmm. Do we have to say more than that? But first off, I want to thank the X-Files for taking the Chupacabra seriously. They are the first show that I saw that took that seriously, so thank you. Secondly, no one on this earth can roll their eyes with such disdain and derision as Gillian Anderson as Agent Scully.
So true. So true. And let me tell you, that brilliant doctor turned FBI agent turned alien abduction believer had to put up with a lot of coworker shenanigans. A lot.
Very true. But here's a fun fact for our listeners. The term shipping, which is a short way of saying, put these two people together, they are in love, can't you see? Originated with Mulder and Scully fans.
Yes, it did. And if you're paying attention, you will probably be able to see a direct line between that and this podcast.
Yes. Yes, you will.
Okay, so, but she is more than just Agent Scully, right?
Right.
Gillian Anderson is also a serious actress.
Oh, so serious. She lived in England until she was 11, so her accent is legitimate, and that is why the BBC loves her. She's been in their production of Bleak House, and she played Miss Havisham, one of my favorites, in Great Expectations, and she also stars in a show called The Fall.
And she was on Hannibal.
Dr. Bedelia Du Maurier. Oh my gosh, I love that character. Holy smokes.
So not only do we have all this great acting stuff, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. But she listened to the Dead Kennedys when she was a teenager, just like me.
And me!
And also, she is a big art nerd who spent most of her first X-Files paycheck on a single lithograph, which is not just like me at all, but you have to love a well-rounded woman.
And I do.
Uh-huh.
Okay, all right. So, Maria Bello.
Maria Bello, oh my God. I loved her on ER.
Yeah.
I loved her. She wasn't on very long, which was pretty sad, but her character had the good sense to be friends with Carol Hathaway and Elizabeth Corday, played by Juliana Margulies and Alex Kingston, respectively. And let me just say, it is so unfair how much talent and beauty that encompasses right there.
I mean, I just want to sit and have a glass of wine with all three. Can I? You know, please?
Yes. Yes. And take me with you.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And let's not forget, Maria Bello was in both Coyote Ugly and A History of Violence, two movies that couldn't be more different. I think we agree.
Yeah.
But were both fantastic in their own way.
And this is what I love. She wrote an essay for the New York Times about talking to her son about how she was in love with a woman. She then turned that into a book, which is called Love is Love. And it's about her personal experiences with love and relationships and labels. And seriously, how awesome is that?
I love it. I love it.
She's good.
Okay, so projects for them. Surely we can come up with something.
Oh, I know we can. I've already got something. So.
Okay.
How about Gillian Anderson as James Bond and Maria Bello as Q?
Oh my God. Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Okay. Maria, she's American. Let's keep her that way as Q.
Oh, I love it. Okay. So this may be more of a shocker than having a woman as Bond, right?
Right.
An American Q.
Right.
Okay. But Gillian's Bond, she's still a Brit, obviously.
Oh, yeah, so right, yeah.
You have this American Q coming into MI6.
Mm-hmm.
They are not going to be very welcoming of her, are they?
Oh, God, no. But they're British. So, of course, they're all very stiff upper lip about this boisterous and no doubt gun-addicted Yankee stepping in as quartermaster. And Gillian, she isn't even sure what to expect.
Okay, but then it turns out Maria is into atypical weaponry. Oh. Right? She's not going for the standard phallic stand-in. Okay, she's doing stuff like making a delicate platinum watch that can both fire poison darts and tell time underwater at 500 meters and also sync your DVR.
Oh, my God.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, and Maria discovers that after a spy caper, Gillian enjoys unwinding to an episode of Antiques Roadshow.
Oh, my God.
So Maria programs that personally just as a gesture of goodwill.
That is so cute.
I know. Oh,
okay. Okay, so Gillian, typical no-nonsense Bond, no social life beyond work, right? Always taking that extra job instead of any vacation time. And at first, she's going to find Maria to be a little frivolous. I mean, very attractive, obviously.
Right.
But mostly frivolous. I mean, did Maria really need to put that much time into simulating whale boning in a corset? Boning that was actually, you know, a hidden flotation device with a black box style tracking device for that, you know, Easter Island mission. I mean, in the Asher, it was exquisite and it saved Gillian's neck. But still frivolous. Come on.
Plus, there was that time when Maria made the lab-created emerald brooch doohickey that could change Gillian's face on the fly in an emergency situation.
Right.
And when tested, Maria said it was an improvement, even though it made Gillian look like her great aunt Hortense. And that is not a compliment. Thank you very much. Ooh. Of course, it's not until Gillian walks away that she realizes Maria was teasing. Who teases 007?
No one ever. But, oh, Gillian also realizes how much more smoothly her missions are going with this new Q. And, oh, it's because Maria keeps making weapons that dudes aren't cottoning onto. I mean, to the guns and the flamethrowers, when Gillian has a birth control package that is actually a sat phone and an EMP, an electronic magnetic pulse generator, which, you know, just wipes out a whole array of anti-aircraft guns in one click.
Yes.
So, Maria's pretty awesome.
Maria is pretty awesome. Yes, she is. But it's not like Gillian could just say that. I mean, can she?
Oh, no, of course not. I mean, this is 007. They don't actually express actual feelings.
Okay, so let's talk about Maria for a second here, because
right.
People don't seem to really appreciate the burden of being Q. Right. Of always having to come up with new things, having to constantly anticipate what an agent might need in the field, having to come up with all these things that work flawlessly every time, because if they don't, it's a matter of life and death.
Oh, well, exactly. The stress, it's unimaginable. But it all has to take a back seat to the agents, because they're the ones out there at risk.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, matter of life and death. I mean, this is why you're supposed to be stoic. Maria knows that. It's not supposed to be about her. She's, you know, just not as good at being stoic as everyone around her.
She tries, though, okay? She's really trying.
Yeah.
And it helps that no matter how blown up, scratched up, however badly the mission goes, Gillian always comes back with her cool demeanor, her shoulders squared, sort of coolly asks for the next gadget and drop location. And Maria, you know, she thinks it's awesome, if a little intimidating.
Mm.
After a while, it starts to feel like there's nothing Gillian can't do. Defuse a warhead while attending a state dinner in the tightest dress known to man? No problem.
Oh, wait. Okay. So let's specify that it's a tight dress with like blaster protection, whatchamacallit, okay? Woven into this beautiful shimmery material.
Yes.
Because Maria might be socially awkward and her glasses are usually crooked and sometimes she has, you know, like a grease smudge on her cheek, but she knows what makes a beautiful woman stunning.
She does indeed. She does indeed. Okay. What about... Mm-hmm. Stopping an assassination attempt.
Ooh.
Okay. During high stakes baccarat in Milan.
Yeah.
While fighting a fever of 104 degrees Fahrenheit, obtained after being spotted by the assassinator's benefactor, who manages to poison her with some virus the CDC has just begun to study.
Oh my God.
But. It turns out Jillian has the antidote hidden in a tampon applicator in her clutch. Thank you very much.
Yes!
The very last place a male villain would look.
Mm-hmm.
And we just gave away our secrets, but...
Kellyanne, boys aren't supposed to know that stuff. Okay, but. So, like, maybe, you know, one time, in a spirit of, like, hopefulness or something, Maria makes an overture. I mean... In a way that it could be, you know, maybe friendship or maybe more, mm-hmm. you know, kind of whatever Jillian wants to take it as, you know, just putting it out there. Like, you know, maybe they could talk outside of work. She's all, hey, you ever go for burgers and beer? Because I know a place.
Mm. Mm? And Jillian shuts her down.
Ouch!
Yeah. Fraternization is against the rules, she says. She knows this because... She looked it up.
Oh.
She knows this because she's been reminding herself of it more and more often lately.
Oh. And the look on Maria's face? I mean, that's got to be almost more than even a 007 can bear. But you know what? Jillian thinks it's for the best. They can't let themselves bend the rules because the rules are there for a reason. Too much emotional attachment means disaster.
Obviously. Obviously. Duh. Everybody knows this.
Yep.
So they settle in, and instead of, you know, kissing, there's banter and dry sarcasm, as it should be.
Yeah, I do love the banter and the sarcasm. I do love that. But Maria, oh, she's going to eventually start to take the high stakes of this all. She's going to take that for granted. And it's because Jillian makes it all look so easy. She's just that good. And come on, it's not like Jillian isn't coming back this time, right? I mean, she's 007, for Christ's sakes. But, you know, this mission, you know, she's being embedded in Falik Chevrier's arm-dealing business. And Jillian, she's a little tense about it. She's more tense than usual.
Oh, my God. And then, right, when Jillian's about to leave, here's the moment.
Right.
Maria almost says something like, be careful or please don't die. But there's a code to uphold, right? So instead, she says, try to bring my invention back in one piece this time, would you?
Ugh. To which Jillian just rolls her eyes. Maybe she was thinking it was going to go somewhere else. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But Maria's pretty sure that she saw a smile there. Like maybe for a second, just like a little one on Jillian's face. I mean, Maria would swear that she saw it. But, you know, she goes back to work on her new project. You know, this is one that she's going to show Jillian when she gets back. And it's like a high-volt taser that Jillian can assemble on the fly from, like, a special pair of high heels and her bra's underwire.
Okay. Goodness knows that underwire stuff, deadly enough on its own.
Oh, that stuff will kill you. Painful.
Made to be a weapon.
Right, right.
Okay. But.
Okay.
And I'm sure this will come as a shock to you guys. Jillian doesn't make it to the drop-off point. Or the backup reconnaissance location. Or the call-in. Nothing.
Oh my gosh.
Back at HQ, Moneypenny.
Right.
Who, of course, will be played by the fabulous Emma Thompson.
Oh, yeah.
Shoo-in,
yeah.
Right? She's even more stern than usual. Okay. Pacing around in tight, agitated steps, yelling at anyone who isn't bowed over their work, tried to find 007, damn it. Jillian, you reckless, you just...
Oh, God, but Maria, she just suddenly feels cold all over because she knows, right?
Oh, she knows.
She knows. And she is heartsick. And she's so very sad and horrified. And she's going to reach up nervously to place her hand on Emma's shoulder as yet another communique goes unanswered. And Emma clutches at her hand, kind of gasping a little bit. And that's what breaks the wall for Maria. She can't help it. She starts to cry. She drops her forehead onto Moneypenny's shoulder, who's shaking her. Q! Q!
Because guess who is limping into headquarters? Are all those tears for me, Jillian says, coughing, holding her side.
I love it. Yeah. Oh my gosh. But Maria, she gets up and she walks over to her and she looks at Jillian's hand where it's pressed to this like bleeding wound on Jillian's side. And she says, "You lost my poison gas emitting opera gloves, you idiot." And she walks out straight back to composed.
Of course she does.
Too
of course
much.
She does. Okay. But let's say later,
okay,
day or two, maybe more, Jillian comes to Q's lab.
Okay.
Okay, she's probably got bruises and bandages and stitches, and she's moving a little gingerly, but trying not to show it. She's actually been taken off active duty until she heals, which means she won't see Q for a while, unless she just happens to stop by.
Oh, but Q, man, she's barely thawed towards her at all. I mean, honestly, she's still looking at Jillian like she wants to strangle her.
She does, because she does.
Mm-hmm.
And this is finally where we get our big Bond love scene moment.
Finally.
Because Jillian, like for some reason, this latest brush with death has brought on a major change of heart for her.
Oh, okay. So she's there. She stalks across the workshop towards Maria, whose eyes, you know, they're going to widen in shock. And she backs up until she bumps against the workbench behind her. Need this moment. And then Jillian takes Maria in her arms and dips her as the music swells and kisses her. Just like really laying one on her, even though she has this healing stab wound in her side.
Yeah.
Love cannot
obviously.
Be denied. Love will not be denied. This kiss, we've been waiting.
Yeah. She's a Bond. She's got to do it right.
Oh, yeah.
And then Maria, of course, kisses her back for a second, and then she starts to laugh, and then she says, "You're still an idiot."
Oh, my gosh. Okay. I love this. I love the banter. Okay, so then Jillian, she's going to kind of laugh, too, and this is our moment. We actually see Bond, you know, falling into it, right?
Yes.
And she sets Maria back on her feet and kisses her again, and then Emma Thompson walks in and stops and stares. And then Emma says, "Oh, it's about bloody time. Now take all of your vacation days or I'll string you up for the firing squad myself."
Okay. Yes. Okay. This is perfect. So then she walks out of the room, then immediately walks back in and says, "And I never saw this." And then she locks the door behind her on her way back out.
Okay. So Maria, okay, obviously, she's going to decide to call it a day.
Yeah.
So she tells Jillian they're going back to her place to rest, quote unquote, and watch something terrible on TV, and there will be no weapons. None.
And then Jillian's going to say, "Not even a little one?" While she's leaning against Maria's sensible Tercel, which, of course, is kitted out with the latest in security protections.
Perfect.
"Not even that underwire taser with the charger housed in my Jimmy Choo's you don't think I know you're working on?"
"Not even that," Maria says. How did she know? So she's going to help Jillian, you know, carefully sit in the passenger seat. Mm-hmm. And as she buckles her in, she leans in and says, all coy and seductive, "Because where we're going, you won't need a bra."
Jillian is appalled.
As she should be.
Jillian cannot believe Maria said something that horrifying and cheesy. I don't know why I like you so much, she tells Maria. She settles back in her seat, but she's smiling. I mean, just, she knows it's just their banter, and she also knows that Maria will let her have that taser bra.
Oh, well, yeah.
And she does.
Maria is an awesome girlfriend.
Oh, she is. I'm so jealous.
Me too.
Okay, so we got that done. I think we wrote a pretty good Bond movie.
I think so.
Yeah.
I agree.
But you know what it's time for now?
Time to go down to Beaver Valley.
You read my mind.
Okay, so how about this? So far, we've had two people go from, you know, antagonists to couples.
Which I love.
And me too. But what about if this time they come to Beaver Valley as an already established couple?
Yes. Love it.
Right?
Love it. Okay.
Okay.
What I would really love to see is a scenario similar to that Chevy Chase movie, Funny Farm.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Where the couple moves to the country, and it's their dream, and they have all these plans, and then things just start to go awry big time, and it doesn't turn out at all like they expected.
Oh, I'm here for that. Yes. Okay. So, how about this? Maria, okay, so she's a welder, as women often are in Hollywood movies, inexplicably, let's say. Okay, so she, she worked on one of those fixer-upper reality shows, right? And that's where she met Jillian, and Jillian is an interior decorator. And, also, I just really like Jillian Anderson in a pencil skirt and heels, because I'm only human.
Right? And who doesn't?
She can pull that off like just about nobody else. I love that.
Right? Okay. That's great. Okay. So let's say they've been together for a while now, like a few years, but and they were probably even living together, but it was almost like a long distance relationship.
Oh, right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Because they're both really busy and they travel for work. And so they're on like a much needed weekend getaway when they drive through Beaver Valley and they see that the hardware store is for sale.
Right. Okay. So this is like one of those run down but still in good shape buildings, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to have like a really old fashioned sign out front and it just says hardware store.
Of course.
That's what they see.
Of course it does. Okay. Well, I mean, Beaver Valley only has one.
Oh, that they don't need more than one.
Right? Exactly. Okay, so Maria is suddenly like really into the idea of buying this store and moving to Beaver Valley.
Yeah.
So they've been talking about slowing down a little bit. Mm-hmm. They can totally afford it.
Mm-hmm.
And this seems like the perfect opportunity. Like, Maria's had some carpal tunnel issues.
Mm.
She's getting kind of sick of life under a welder's mask. And she's just really getting into the idea of hanging around the store all day, just like filling bins of nails and helping people find the right light bulb.
Oh, God, yeah. Because, I mean, have you ever tried to find like the right fluorescent light bulb? You know those super long, skinny ones? It's a freaking pain in the neck.
God, yes. There's like a little code on the end you have to find. It's horrible.
Yeah.
So how much more pleasant would it be if you just went on down to the hardware store named Hardware Store and had Maria freaking Bello find the right one for you?
I would be doing home projects every weekend. That's what that sounds like.
Yeah.
I mean, okay. Oh, but how's Jillian feeling about this? Because she's all pencil skirt and 5-inch pumps moving to the sticks. She's not as enthused about the store and moving to Beaver Valley. Let's get real.
No, she isn't until they go house hunting and find this amazing old Victorian that needs a ton of work but has really good bones.
Yes. Oh, wow. It has been her dream to get her hands on one of those and just have her way with it. So at that point, she's like, yeah, let's do it. I mean, she can still do consulting work now and then, film a few, you know, special appearances on the home remodeling shows, whatnot, you know.
Yeah, sounds perfect. So the next thing you know, there they are in Beaver Valley. And the town is really cute and fun, and there's actually a lot of stuff going on, and everyone is, like, really welcoming and friendly.
I mean, Annalise is going to bring them an entire hummingbird cake.
Oh, so lucky.
The guy from the Handy Lube He drops off a coupon for a free tire rotation. Who does that? But the guy at the Handy Lube.
God.
I love that. I love that.
The guy from the Handy Lube is like my favorite guy in Beaver Valley.
He's a good guy. He's a good one. He's one of the good ones.
So there's this amazing bookstore called The Blue Stocking, right?
Okay.
They have Saturday night concerts in the town square, which is actually a triangle.
Mm.
You know, it's a really nice place to live. And Maria and Jillian have never spent this much time together in the same place in all the years they've been a couple. So this is actually kind of heavenly.
Well, it sounds awesome because on weekends, they both climb on these little beach cruisers they've got. You know, the kind with the baskets affixed in front, right? And they go to the Lazy Beaver Cafe together. You know, grab a couple of the cafe's famous box lunches. They ride to the park together for the picnic. They swing past the honey pot to grab the last fresh croissant that Annalise has baked. Then they ride home. I mean, it's idyllic, right?
Right. But unfortunately, as sometimes happens, this dream doesn't quite have the same appeal when it's reality.
Mm.
Right? So I think after the initial excitement wears off, Maria isn't really as happy as she thought she would be.
Oh, no.
Yeah, she thought she would enjoy it a little more, like really get into all this downtime. Would enjoy selling light bulbs and disposable gaskets, but the store isn't really that busy, and it's kind of gloomy inside, and after a while, she realizes she's a little bored.
Oh, does she miss welding? I think she does.
Yeah.
Like, maybe she kind of, like, putters around a little bit with it in the half-finished converted carriage house, you know, the ones that they're turning into a garage. And she's, like, constantly looking for any excuse to fix something by welding it. But the house is all wood, so not a lot of color for that.
Yeah. So she does the same thing to Jillian, though, because this was all her idea, right?
Oh, yeah.
And so you're not going to say 5 minutes in, like, I think I messed up.
Right.
And maybe she thinks she just needs to adjust, you know, so.
Sure.
She just kind of zips her lip and soldiers on.
Aw, but meanwhile, so Jillian has begun work on the house and is finding that in order, you know, to keep some of the original Victorian details, right? She needs to locate, like, weird or rare or vintage parts, and they're really hard. And so basically what happens is she starts getting really into the treasure hunt aspect of it. So she's doing a lot of trawling through flea markets and junkyards when she's, you know, traveling for her consulting work. Sometimes she buys things she doesn't need. So Maria throws those in a bin in the store to sell.
Oh, okay.
These little extra things.
Right. Okay. And I think Jillian is also hunting for things for the house online. You know, like spending a little time in discussion forums with other, like, house remodeling nerds. And then one day she's at a flea market and she happens to see something someone else was asking about online. So she picks it up. And then she gets home, she contacts them and ships it off. And she doesn't, like, charge a markup or anything. She just asks for, like, cost plus shipping.
Whoa. And then it happens again.
Mm-hmm.
And again.
Mm-hmm.
And then someone comes into the hardware store with a picture of something they need. It's like a weird flange because they heard from a guy who heard from Judith at the Lazy Beaver, who heard it from the guy at the Handy Lube, right? That those new gals can find stuff for you. And Maria's like, I'll see what we can do. Just kind of taken aback by that. But she shows the picture to Jillian, who then finds it like a week later.
Right, yes. So this stuff kind of starts to pick up. And then Jillian starts spending a few days a week hitting all her favorite junkyards and estate sales and stuff, just kind of looking for things people need and things people might need.
Mm.
And pretty soon that bin in the store becomes a shelf, which becomes a whole back room.
Ooh.
And eventually she starts turning down consulting jobs and TV appearances. Like, you know, she's like, I just kind of need a little break. But pretty soon, she's spending so much time finding cool things and taking special orders for people that she just kind of starts to forget about everything else, including their gorgeous Victorian house, which just kind of sits there, torn apart.
Oh, that Maria is just increasingly unhappy. I mean, she doesn't want to admit that she is. She doesn't want to admit she uprooted them on a whim, and now she regrets it. And she's also increasingly annoyed that Jillian isn't focused on getting the house done. That was their plan. Maria would run the store because Jillian was super gung-ho about the house.
Oh, God. And the pain of house remodel.
Right.
Like, they have no walls, just the studs. Mm-hmm. The working toilet is on one floor. The only working tub is on another. They're cooking from a camp stove. Like, thank God for the Lazy Beaver.
Oh, they eat a lot of meals at the Lazy Beaver, which, you may recall, is now run by professional chef Idris Elba, who is also the professional boyfriend of Gina Torres, renowned restaurant critic.
And who else eats lunch at the Lazy Beaver when they are in town?
Who?
Why, retired stonemason turned famous artist Dwayne The Rock Johnson, who is dating international art dealer Haley Atwell.
I love this. And so, like, maybe after they chat at the cafe, The Rock comes into the store looking for Maria one day. And he's like, I need this welded, would you? And,
yes.
I mean, and of course, it's for a piece of his heart art. And she does it. And then maybe she does another thing for him. And then asks if, you know, she wants to come and see the finished piece. And bam! She sees it and knows that's what she wants to do. She starts welding arty stuff.
Yes, perfect. Like elaborate gates and whimsical garden decorations and these beautiful complicated light fixtures.
And lamps, coffee tables, shelving units. If it's metal, she's making it.
Pretty soon, their whole carriage house kind of garage.
Right.
It's just full of stuff she's made. She is staying up half the night in a welding frenzy. And while she's doing this, Jillian is curled up on the sofa with her computer, posting pictures of things she's found in her little house nerd forum and taking requests from people for things they need. So they aren't spending as much time together as they thought they would when they came here, but they're still in the same town and in the same house, so that counts for something.
But over time, Jillian starts spending more and more time in the store managing her room of these flea market finds, right? Shipping things out to customers, you know, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And Maria takes advantage of this to set up a satellite workshop out back where she could still get some welding done, right? When Jillian's there, you know, kind of working the front of the shop.
Perfect idea. Okay, but
yeah,
this is when all the little stuff comes into play, right?
Mm.
All those things about another person, their bad habits and annoying quirks that are fairly tolerable when you're getting along and you're only spending a few days a month together, but suddenly now...
When you're living in the same house day after day, it really starts to grate.
Oh, does it?
That spoon that always gets put in the sink instead of put in the dishwasher.
I hate that spoon.
The empty shampoo bottle that gets left in the shower next to the new full one. The fact that someone can't sleep unless the television is on and someone else can't fall asleep with the television on.
Oh, God, yes. All those things you can live with in small doses, but after a while, they can just start to drive you mad, especially if there are other problems that you aren't talking about.
Right. So meanwhile, Jillian cleans out another back room of the store and fills it with the stuff Maria made, and maybe, like, puts a few bigger things, like, out in front of the sidewalk to lure people into the store.
Yeah.
So, slowly, a few pieces sell, then a few more. And Judith stops by and requests a set of matching custom bases, for, you know, for her gazing ball collection. And then, when they're done, she's thrilled with them and posts pictures of them on Facebook.
Oh, my God, she does.
Thank you,
this
Judith.
Is great. This is great. Okay, so they're making their own success story here, right? Things seem to be going okay. Except Maria and Jillian are still bickering a lot more than usual.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then there's probably some mix-up where someone gets their schedule wrong and misses a dinner date they set up expressly to have time together.
Ugh.
And now Jillian, who's sick of the television going all night, starts sleeping in another bedroom. Right. It's not like Maria will really care, since she always stays up late welding and then comes to bed at 2 a.m. and turns the TV on.
Oh, but separate bedrooms. That's always a sign of trouble.
Oh, it is. It is. Mm-hmm. And then the thing that pushes it over the edge, the straw that breaks the camel's back, it isn't even a bad thing. It's actually a good thing, but it makes everything just come down around their ears.
Got it. Maria gets hired to make an entrance hall sculpture for the Welding Hall of Fame.
Yes. Right? Perfect.
It is an unbelievable honor and an amazing project. I mean, not only does it pay a pretty nice sum of money, but this is going to really put her name out there. Her arty welding business is going to take off after this.
Oh, it's going to take off so fast. And they go out to dinner at the honeypot to celebrate.
Mm-hmm.
And then afterwards, when they're cuddling in bed, back in the same bedroom again,
with,
you know, like one last glass of wine, Maria says, "Thank God we can finally sell the store and move."
Record needle screech because totally. Sell the store? Jillian is aghast. They can't sell the store.
No.
She loves the store. The store is the whole reason they moved here.
Oh, yeah.
They have a huge argument. Everything that's been festering under the surface for the last 8 months comes out. The unfinished house, the late night welding, the damn spoon in the sink, the bedtime television, all of it. Oh, it is horrible.
Oh, it is so horrible.
Nasty.
Jillian gets up and stomps back to the guest room
no.
and wishes she could slam the door, except it doesn't have a door.
Ah!
Oh, she is so furious. And honestly, you know, she wasn't 100% on board with this idea when they got here. And now she's finally happy here and has come to love it. Now Maria wants to undo it all. Right. And what does it matter anyway where they live if Maria is just going to be holed up in her workshop all day long?
Ooh.
They could live on the moon and it wouldn't make any difference.
Meanwhile, Maria is also furious. I mean, okay, the store was a bad idea. She sees that now. But if she's to blame for that, then Jillian is to blame for the house, which is clearly also a bad idea because here it sits. Barely livable. And if Jillian would just concentrate on finishing the house instead of worrying about the stupid store.
Oh, God. And this is what happens, right? To a lot of couples. You're not happy. Maybe your life isn't going like you want it to. And you start looking at your significant other as the person who's to blame for it instead of as an ally.
Right. Okay, so this is where they're at the next morning when they talk about it again. So they agree they're going to focus on finishing the house so that they can sell it and the store. Maybe, you know, like a package deal, okay? And they decide that Jillian will focus on the house, Maria will focus on the store just long enough for them to get both of those up to snuff. And then, well, who knows?
And then they don't talk about what will happen after that.
I don't like it.
Things are cordial but kind of cool between them. This sort of unspoken awareness that they haven't talked about where they're going to live once they leave Beaver Valley. And they are both very aware that it's possible they might split up. But neither has openly voiced that yet. God, my stomach hurts just talking about this.
I don't like it.
But deep down, they don't want to part. But what choice do they have? Or so they think.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Precisely. Yeah. So meanwhile, they're both even more miserable. You know, Jillian isn't in the store. Maria isn't in her shop, they're both putting all this time and effort in, just gritting their teeth to get this done, and they both hate it. It's almost like when they look back, they possibly weren't as unhappy as they thought they were a few weeks ago. I mean, in comparison to this, that was bliss.
Interesting. So during this time, as the store is getting tidied up and fully stocked and the house is slowly becoming a house, people are still contacting the store about stuff they need. And then when Jillian can't find a thing for someone, Maria makes it and the client loves it. And now the store is suddenly even more successful. Weekends especially are really busy. The requests for specialty items pouring in at a rapid rate.
Oh, that's great. But things are still tense. You know, Jillian, she finishes the house. Oh, it is gorgeous. It's perfect. It's what they both wanted.
They do one last walkthrough before they call the realtor. Just to make sure they've got it right.
And that's when Maria notices that Jillian still made a point of putting in a working dumbwaiter, you know, so she can send up the little snacks to Maria, you know, in the converted attic when she's all curled up there with a book.
Oh my God.
Jillian notices that Maria welded this perfect grate for the downstairs fireplace, and it's just like Jillian had said she'd always wanted. Maria even put their initials into the design in like this really artistic way.
Oh my God, that is so thoughtful. Why are they breaking up? They still care about each other.
They do. Okay, so they get in the car and they're silent. They drive over to the store, which now has a closed sign out front.
But
Maria's shelves and, you know, the whatnot that's still out front. And inside, Jillian's favorite coffee mug, you know, it's sitting right there next to the cash register. And Maria's welding gloves are on the counter. Jillian's little found objects and Maria's specialty pieces, they're all nestled in side by side with the bends of nails and the saw blades.
There is no denying what they are seeing here.
Thank you. No, there isn't. They made this business their own together. I mean, just like they made that house for each other.
Oh, man. And this is where, at last, we get the reconciliation we have all been waiting for, right? When they both admit that maybe they didn't handle this as well as they should have, but now they realize they do not want to split up, right? This is that moment, the big scene in the store where they confess that they still love each other, and there are some hugs and kisses, and maybe a little teary laughter when they realize how dumb they've been.
I'm so happy! Okay, so they decide to stay in the house, stay in Beaver Valley, and stay together. They saw reason, thank God.
Man, I love them. I was really worried for a little bit there, but woo! Okay, and then classic, like super symbolic scene. They flip the sign on the store to open.
Yay!
Yay! And then they stand in the open doorway with their arms around each other, looking out at the Beaver Valley Main Street, smiling.
I love that. I love that. Oh, okay. But then you always have to have an epilogue. So let's fast forward a few months, all right? They get a website. It's up and running, you know, for the hardware store where people can look at the stock and put in requests. This also allows them to sell Maria's stuff that she's making to order, right? Or even just like fancy pieces she makes just because.
I love this. Branching out. Okay. So they have like totally transformed hardware store. So in the end, it's a hardware store / specialty hardware business / custom metalwork business / art studio.
Awesome.
And then they changed the name of the store to match the website. And now they are both called Need a Good Screw. And the people of Beaver Valley, of course, they think yes. this name is excellent.
Yes.
And then Maria and Jillian get married in the backyard of their wonderful finished house.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Under a gorgeous arbor made by Maria.
I love it. Oh, yeah. Okay. So, like, most of the town, they come to the wedding. And, of course, Annalise makes the cake. Right? Duh. So, nobody can make a cake like Annalise.
No.
So, standing up in their wedding is their bridesmaid and very close friend, played by Melissa McCarthy,
ooh.
Who you might, dear listener, see again. And she beams at our two ladies as they kiss after being pronounced. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And this movie about a home renovation and a hardware store that almost led to the end of a relationship, but instead made it even stronger, would obviously be named
Forged by Love.
Yes.
Yay.
The end.
Well, I mean, you know, until next time, right?
Right. Join us every Monday to find out which two actors will be subject to our wishful thinking this time and who will end up in Beaver Valley next.
And be sure to check out our blog, okbutlistenpodcast.tumblr.com, for updates and insights, relevant links, and our next episode. We'll see you then.
See you. Thank you.